Well, Callum Morton is a leading Australian artist, best known for large sculptural works that borrow from architecture. Now, if you're a Melbourne listener, you'll know his work Hotel, which is a sculpture on Melbourne's Eastlink Freeway, which at first glance as you're driving along looks like a hotel. It looks like a real hotel. But after you've passed it a few times, you realise that actually there's something wrong with it. And if you look closely, it's just too small and a bit thin. It's clearly not a hotel at all. It's some kind of sculpture. Well, his latest work is another not quite right replica, and this one has a kind of robotic edge to it. It's on display at Anna Schwartz Gallery in Melbourne. Georgia Moody takes us there.
We are inside Anna Schwartz Gallery on Flinders Lane in the heart of the CBD in Melbourne. And with me is the acclaimed Australian artist Callum Morton. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also with me is director Anna Schwartz. Hello.
Hello, Georgia. Welcome.
Now, Callum, we're here in the foyer of Anna Schwartz. Before we move forward and look at your work, can you describe where we are?
We're in the atrium, or the kind of threshold space of Anna Schwartz Gallery, a very famous space that has always been a part of your experience coming to this gallery. So it's the place you pass through before you go in to see the show proper. And here there is a plinth with a bowl of flowers on it, which is very typical of the shows at Anna Schwartz Gallery. There's a large desk with an aluminium guard that behind which are computers, and usually the gallery staff sit behind there. And it's a very particular space designed by DCM in 1994, Denton Corker Marshall, very famous architects who designed the whole space. And even though one looks at this space, but certainly if you come here a lot, as almost a kind of neutral space, in fact, what I'm very interested in is that it's a very specific form of design, and it certainly conditions the way you think about the space and the way you think about the work in the space, and so it has a very particular effect. And I've always been interested in architecture and the typologies of architecture and their effects, and so this space is kind of iconic in that way.
Well, let's move through to the gallery space and look at your work, Reception.
Okay.
So describe for me what we're in front of now.
So now we're in the gallery space, and you're seeing the same space again that has been faithfully recorded at one-to-one scale. So the plinth is there, the same bowl of flowers, the same desk with the aluminium guard. There are the same cupboards behind. And in this space, there's the same doorway leading to the back of the gallery. So it's set sort of halfway in the main gallery space. So the whole gallery space has been compressed quite significantly. And there, standing up against the desk, is a one-to-one animatronic of Anna, an Anna animatronic, in fact. It's leaning in a pose that, well, is typical of Anna. Anna does stand like that often. I mean, there's not many poses of Anna, but it was quite specific that wanted it to kind of be open, you know, and kind of welcoming. So she is dressed in Anna's clothes, and perhaps we should go forward a bit and encounter the figure. So that's the cycle she goes through. So as you move closer, there's a sensor which sets off the head, and so the eyes move, the head moves around, and it talks, and Anna's voice comes out. There's a little bit of me in there. So it's another Anna, so clearly a kind of robot. So it is welcoming you. She is welcoming you. So that's the part of it, her being open and leading you through the door to the back of the gallery. But it's as if at times she's a bit confused. So she gets a bit stuck. That's when she's going, that's actually me. I didn't record Anna doing that. I recorded Anna doing everything else. And she says yes. Here she goes again. She says yes when she means no, no when she means yes. So she's just slightly off. And so it's a sense that, like the office, or sorry, like the interior threshold space with the desk, it's at one-to-one, but it's slightly off as well. It's not kind of faithfully reproduced down to the millimetre. It's through there. So perhaps we should go through the door to it. Yep, okay.
We'll come through to the back. Callum, describe this for me.
So this is just the back of, not just, this is the back of the work. So the whole kind of construction of the work is revealed. So in a sense, there's kind of nothing here. She's telling you to go through to something, but in fact, you're always never arriving. And I guess it's a condition of those spaces too. You call them non-places, that you know, of threshold spaces, that they're places you move through that you don't occupy. So in a sense, reproducing is sort of doubling the kind of frustration of that. But when you come around the back, it's, you know, it's the kind of, it's thwarting you again a little bit. But it's also, in many of my large-scale installation works, if you were to open the door of one of the construction, you would see wire and bits of timber and all the kind of stuff of construction. It's never sort of revealed, it's kind of, it's hidden. So it's, and I've been designing for theatre a bit more recently, and that's the fascinating thing about, this is essentially a set, fascinating thing about theatre, that, you know, it's all kind of presented for the audience at the front of the work, and you never see the kind of mechanics unless you're part of the production. So in a sense, it's sort of revealing that or underscoring its theatricality.
Anna, what was your reaction when Callum told you he'd like to make a replica of your foyer here in the gallery?
It's something Callum's been thinking of doing for quite some time, and a couple of exhibitions have intervened and have taken place instead of this. And so he thought that the time had come to do this. I didn't realise that I was going to be implicated to quite the degree I am, but no, I was ready for it.
And how do you feel about Callum making a replica of you wearing the same clothes?
I think it's a very interesting work. I think it asks a lot of questions, and it asks the audience to ask questions of themselves. It's seemingly funny and unsettling, but where does meaning lie? It's asking you to really confront yourself, I think, as a viewer, about the experience of being in the gallery and reading a work for meaning, and reading the whole experience of being in the gallery, every aspect of it, for meaning, because we always consider that. Everything from when you walk in the door is very, very intentional, and I think that this show underlines that. And I like the way that Callum is playing with, in this exhibition, the confusion between, well, a lot of confusions, but particularly between the public and the private space, the role of the gallerist, the relationship between the gallery and the artist, what does create a culture, to what degree are we all implicated, and in what? I think the work asks a lot of questions.
It opened here on the 3rd of March. How have people been reacting to it in the space?
They've all been looking at me very intensely. It's a bit like Spot the Difference. Somebody actually wanted to see my hands to make sure I still had them.
That they hadn't been transferred to the robot?
Yes, because they're so lifelike.
Callum, what prompted you to make this work, this replica?
I've always been very interested in the specific, as Anna mentioned, the specific history of this gallery as a kind of series of rooms with a very specific narrative, if you like, and a very specific connection to the world. So rather than, you know, when one encounters work in spaces like these, it's kind of almost like it's timeless and it's not connected to the world. And my interests have always been much more about how you connect things and what stories are sort of told through the objects and what have you. So it wasn't, given that I was interested in those things and I always have been, it wasn't surprising that the idea of doing the, and in fact that in other works of mine like Valhalla or, for the Venice Biennale, where I had a threshold space, a kind of a corporate foyer at the heart of that work, wasn't surprising given the interest in those things that I would look at this very particular and terrific space and think, you know, well, why don't I do that? I mean, why you do these things, one doesn't always know, but, I mean, it got lodged in my brain, and I guess the one thing you can say is if an idea keeps recurring over and over again, then it's usually an idea you should act on. The ones that sort of don't recur, well, they're perhaps the less urgent or particular to you and your identity as an artist. So there was that, but there was also, and so there was an idea to do the threshold. To add the animatronic was really a kind of interest in robots, I think, that has been happening for a few years as well. And my love of, well, love repulsion for the theme park. You know, I used to go to theme parks when I lived in LA for research with the kids and things. And Pirates of the Caribbean is a work in Disneyland in LA that is an amazing work. I've always thought it was a great artwork, actually, which is using that technology of the animatronic figure. And it's all a bit wrong and awkward, but it's also a kind of incredible simulation as well. And I've loved the kind of, I love the sort of theatre of those works. And also Disney had, which has been decommissioned, you know, an animatronic figure of Abraham Lincoln who came out and gave the Gettysburg Address, and you'd sit in the theatre and you'd come out and sit on the chair and you'd listen to him do it. So you knew it was kind of fake, but it still had the kind of power or something. So more recently I went to Tokyo and went to, you know, so I saw all this stuff again. So this kind of interest in robots married to the interest in a kind of spectacle culture that tries to reproduce things and figures in the world, but not quite right, they kind of get it a bit wrong, that was, you know. Anyway, I don't know if it's answering the question, but I think put those two things together, that was it.
The animatronic figure is, as you said, not quite right. She stutters, she's a bit confused. Mm. And it reminds me of one of your most well-known works, Hotel, which is on Melbourne's East Link, which, as from a distance, it looks like a real hotel, and then as you get closer, you realise that it's just far too small to be real. Mm. What is it that draws you to these not-quite-right replicas?
Well, the hotel isn't actually, to be truthful, a kind of specific replica. It's a sort of more generic one of a type of bad modernity, if you like, and so the Formula One hotel, that kind of thing. And you're right, though, if it's two-thirds scale or something, it's impossibly thin and... But I was interested in doing something that for all the world might appear alongside a freeway. So rather than a piece of public sculpture, that it looked like a building and people might think for a moment that it was actual. And it's a lot of effort to go to create a kind of feeling of disorientation. And yeah, it does work. You know, there are thousands of people that think it's actual, you know, for a moment before not. And so the swinging in and out of that moment of confusion is recurred in a number of works, actually. And it does it with this as well, I think. I think people at the opening were quite confused about what was going on, about, you know, not just Anna's figure. It was more from a distance seeing the foyer again. And, you know, even on Instagram, I was saying there was a great little post yesterday by someone who said, well, they saw a photo of it. And they said, well, what was in the gallery? So, you know, they took as an image everything to be actual, and I really like that. I mean, that post quietly disappeared a bit later in the day. But you know, it's, you know, so that moment, there's lots of reasons why I'm kind of interested in that moment of confusion or disorientation. I actually think what happens when that is it kind of unleashes the imagination or opens up other things rather than kind of shuts them down. I was also particularly interested in it being a border, the threshold space. And I know the kind of idea of the border is, you know, such a thing to talk about socially and a very important subject. So in its way, it's kind of doing that. It's a welcome at a kind of limit, and it's inviting you through, so it's kind of open.
Anna, your gallery is one of the most prominent and successful commercial galleries in Australia, but this work is so site-specific. Are you expecting it to be sold?
I'm always hoping so. I mean, I don't impose any conditions on works, and I presume that everything that we do show should be embraced by the culture and sold, acquired, yes. I think there are a lot of possibilities for it, you know, and it's in a particular relationship to its environment here, but I think Callum and I certainly am looking forward to it, to seeing it out of this context and looking at it as a piece standing alone in the world and just dealing with its eloquence in that situation.
On RN, the gallerist Anna Schwartz. We heard the real and the robotic Anna Schwartz there, and also the artist Callum Morton. And they were speaking to Georgia Moody. And you can see, or perhaps we could say you can meet that work, reception, at the Anna Schwartz Gallery in Melbourne until the 23rd of April.